This show was previously broadcast live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome to the Godspeed Institute, an enlightening and positive forum exploring the world's religions and spiritual practices. In an effort to better understand each other, promote tolerance, and foster human unity. We present views and experiences of the world's religions and spiritual belief systems as an on-air classroom, helping listeners gain insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world, and to help people find tools and inspiration for their own spiritual development. I am your host, Michael Hellenbeck. Today on the show, we will be exploring African diasporic religions and voodoo. With us to help us better understand this topic, we're pleased to welcome Professor Patrick Bellegarde-Smith, professor and researcher with the Department of Africology at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. Patrick Bellegarde-Smith has a PhD in international relations and comparative politics, but he is most proud of his status as Ungan Asogwe, the highest ranking that one can achieve as a priest of voodoo, Haiti's national religion. Transcending religion to become spiritual discipline and worldview, voodoo has impacted all systems and fields in Haitian culture, playing a similar role as Shinto in Japan, Hinduism in India, and Judaism in Israel. Beside key books on Haitian history and social philosophy, Bellegarde-Smith has edited and co-edited a series of volumes on voodoo, Cuban Santeria, and Brazilian Candomblé and Umbanda. Several of these books have been translated into Spanish, Portuguese, and French. He is the grandson of Dante Bellegarde, Haiti's foremost diplomat of the 20th century, and one of two major philosophers with Champrise Mars in the country. Among his many books and publications are Fragments of Bone, Neo-African Religions in a New World, Invisible Powers, Voodoo and Haitian Life and Culture, and In the Shadow of Powers, Dante Bellegarde in Haitian Social Thought. Welcome, Professor Bellegarde-Smith, and thank you for being with us today.
I'm glad to have been invited.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. In preparing for this program today, I was studying voodoo in the mainstream media, and I was looking around on the World Wide Web and in other places, and one of the things that sort of started to dawn on me was that it appears that there are a lot of misconceptions about voodoo in the general mainstream today. Would you say I'm right about that?
Absolutely. In fact, it's the most decried and denigrated religious system in the entire world. And the world seems to have accepted those definitions that ultimately came from Hollywood starting in the 1920s and 1930s to the present. Oh. And the world, of course, being interested in Hollywood films, has been convinced that these religions are not religions at all, but a miasma of superstitions and spells and the like, that nothing could be further from the truth, actually.
Wow. Now, could you address that a little specifically? I mean, are there any, and it sounds all of a sudden like there's a lot, but maybe you could address some of the misconceptions that we see in our culture today about voodoo?
For instance, in those films themselves, by the way, those films were created largely to justify the U.S. military occupation of Haiti that lasted from 1915 until 1934. So we needed a rationale for having taken over that country and ultimately having killed 50,000 Haitians, the U.S. Marine Corps, that is. About 50,000 Haitians died in that U.S. occupation. And Hollywood, for instance, which had no knowledge whatsoever of African-derived religion, talked about zombies. It talked about dolls and pins being stuck into dolls, those kinds of things. And it turns out, it seems, that's what I'm told, that voodoo dolls, pins and dolls, come from English and German witchcraft. And because one doesn't find this in the African continent. And certainly, I grew up in Haiti, and I've been a priest for the better part of 20 years. And sometimes I wish there were voodoo dolls, but I've never seen any.
Mm. You know what we do in Denmark, where I'm originally from? Every year, traditionally, we have a bonfire at the summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that to, you know, celebrate the summer solstice. But also, there's a lot of superstition tied into it. And one of the things you do, that we do over there every year in late June, we make this giant bonfire, and then we make a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And we take the witch and put it on top of the bonfire, and
uh-huh.
we light it. And
yeah.
the superstition is that we take the witch and we send them to a particular mountain called Buxberg in Germany.
In Germany?
Because we send it to a particular mountain in Germany, yeah? We're sending the
uh-huh.
witch to Buxberg.
So the witches leave Denmark.
The witches, to get the witches out, because we're entering the dark season and the cold season.
Yes.
That
yes.
traditionally is mm-hmm. is very, you know, it's very hard to survive in the old days
mm-hmm.
over there.
Yes, of course.
But there you see.
I venture guessing that the witches were quite significant in pre-Christian Europe.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they would have been praised instead of burned.
Oh, absolutely. In the middle of winter, we do the opposite. We take a black cat and we stick it in a barrel. And we bang the barrel until the cat dies. They don't do that anymore. They put candy in there, no.
Yeah,
but
that would
exactly.
be cruelty to animals, I think, in the United States.
Yeah, well, that's what they used to do over there.
And I'm a cat person, so I don't approve of that.
No, I certainly don't either. But it came to my mind when you were mentioning the origins of what we know in popular culture as the doll, the voodoo
yes.
doll, coming from Scandinavia, coming from Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
but that's what I was told. At any rate, I have not looked at pre-Christian Europe. My guess is that pre-Christian Europe will resemble Africa,
yeah.
and will resemble other places around the world, including Native American spiritual systems in the United States.
Sure, sure. Now, I'm very glad you bring up all these misconceptions. I'd like to try to understand then. Could you take us to on a journey, on a trip, to try to understand what are the roots of voodoo? How did it come about? Where is it coming from? And
okay.
please take your time.
This is a very, very important question.
Sure.
And I'm glad that you're asking it, because in the immediacy of it is that it comes from West Africa and Central Africa. You had hundreds of different African ethnic groups contributing to the human population of Haiti, and these individuals were seized and enslaved on the West African and Central African coast, and now brought to the Caribbean and other parts of the Western Hemisphere as well, not just Haiti, which is why, by the way, we find religions that are very similar next door in Cuba, all the way down to Brazil, and throughout the American continents. So we do find a similarity. That's in the immediacy of the situation. But African religions themselves are the world's most ancient religions, if we believe, as our scientists are now telling us, that the human species, Homo sapiens sapiens, comes out of Africa essentially, 100,000, 150,000, whatever the number is these days, out of Africa and walks out of Africa and populates the rest of the planet. And so my sense is that the first religions were very, very similar, and the first religions were African and eventually create children of their own elsewhere on the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. So venturing into voodoo, is that the right pronunciation?
Voodoo, V-O-D-O-U.
Voodoo.
Voodoo, V-A-D-O-U. But
yeah.
you see, if you go back in time, and this is, I think, true of all ethnic groups, of all national groups, what we would call national groups today, each tribe, if I allow myself to use that word, which has
sure.
become pejorative in many instances, though anthropologists will use it under certain circumstances, each tribe developed its own spiritual system. And so we have Judaism for the Jews, and nobody else is supposed to have it. And that is the most famous tribal religion on the planet Earth presently. And it has marked itself as the progenitor of both Christianity and Islam. But each tribal group, as it were, had its own religion. Therefore, there was no such thing as a name. In Haiti, it is only recently that we have come to adopt the word Vodou, V-O-D-O-U. And why? Because on the national territory now, in Haiti proper, we find Christianity, we find Mormonism, we find, of course, the Roman Catholic Church brought in by the French colonial power, but also since the Americans, in essentially since 1915, American Protestant groups throughout Haiti. So there was a need to call the religion something, but up to that point, Haitians had no name for the religion because everybody was supposed to practice it pretty much. So the term that you used in the countryside was, do you serve the spirits? The answer is yes, I serve the spirits. Or no, I don't serve the spirits. And the Vodou, V-O-D-O-U, was one dance out of hundreds of dances that we did for those spirits. But it has now become accepted. And part of it is that foreigners have labeled it that, and so we have followed suit.
So Vodou is really, it's really a blend of all these hundreds of West African traditional belief systems. Is that correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, all religions are syncretic. All religions are a synthesis. Judaism itself borrows heavily from the peoples around the ancient Israelites becomes a little bit of all. Yahweh himself was one of many gods who becomes the one dominant and the only God. Christianity derives largely from Judaism, but also borrows from people that lived close to the early Christians. And Islam derives from certainly Judaism and Christianity and borrows heavily from the tribal traditions of people in the Arabic Peninsula and elsewhere. And so Haitian Vodou, and this is why people think it is the strongest African religion in the Western Hemisphere, borrows heavily from what is now the Republic of Benin, which is the old kingdom of Dahomey, which is the core of Haitian culture, and also from the Bakongo people in the Congo Basin, the two Congo republics presently, and the Republic of Angola in Central Africa. But it also borrows elsewhere. And you have Muslim elements that you find in Vodou because many of the enslaved Africans were already Islamicized by the time they reached the colonies in the Caribbean. And it borrows also from Roman Catholic Church in itself and its French variant. And so it blends these things, although in terms of its foundation, it remains African. It borrows in terms of the ritual and whatnot, but it is fundamentally an African religion. None of the big items have become Christianized as such, or very few of those.
Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to the African belief system. Could you talk a little bit about creation narratives? And I would assume that the belief systems have a close relationship to the natural world?
Yes. Those are called sometimes nature religions.
Yes.
And nature religions, by definition, are tied to science, and certainly the science of the natural world. And there's never been a problem between science and Vodou. Vodou readily accepts not only science as we presently know it in 2010, but also will accept other religions as such. And in fact, what happens, because everything is at basis spiritual, it is expected that if you practice Vodou in Haiti, you will be a very, very good Christian. In fact, if you're not a very good Christian, they pretty much don't think that you can do Vodou properly. And so it reminds me a little bit of what the Japanese do presently between Shinto, which is the national religion of Japan, created in Japan proper and borrowing from others, obviously, and Buddhism, which comes in later, so that certain rituals are conducted in Shinto, certain rituals are conducted within Buddhism. Haitians do the same thing, precisely the same thing. So there is a great deal of bowing that has taken place, but there is no effort at proselytizing. In fact, you cannot join voodoo, you cannot convert to it, because it is so rooted in the Haitian corpus that people say, why would you want to join something that does not belong to you or your ancestors?
That sounds like a very dynamic progress. I am wondering, can you share some of the core beliefs of voodoo with the audience?
Yes, certainly. Haitian voodoo, together with religions of Africa as we understand them, and they were all rooted in each and every people, are monotheistic. Those religions are monotheistic. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
This is not true of ancient Greece. This is not true of Rome. But this seems to be true of African religions. It tended to be monotheistic from the get-go. Each and every of those traditions, rooted in each and every tribe, if I may use that term, has its own Genesis story. And they all pretty much overlap. And those Genesis stories are very reminiscent, very similar to those that you find in North America, for instance, or in various portions of Asia. And so you have that. Also, African religions are, at the very foundation of them, humanistic. God is not the center of the universe. God is not the center of anything. The human being is, the human person is, in both its male and female emanation. Not just one, but both simultaneously. And that becomes important. Saying that you will find repeated in the countryside in Haiti to this day, for instance, is the following. If you look into the cosmic mirror, the image that looks back at you is the image of God. And it reminds me of the greetings that you find in India and elsewhere called Namaste, in I salute the Godhead in you.
Correct.
And so I think it's a rather effective way of showing that that humanity itself is the important element in terms of the planet Earth, and not necessarily how one relates to God or the deities. And I do establish a distinction between God on the one hand and the numerous deities that we have on the other.
So there are no specific deities in voodoo.
Yes.
Is that a correct statement?
Yes, yes. There are many deities, but those deities are not God.
Okay.
They are spiritual emanation from God. The way I look at them and the way I usually explain it is to say that God itself, because God is not a he nor a she, God itself is too awesome to contemplate. It's too difficult for our finite minds to wrap around it. So the deities are like the facets of the diamond. The whole diamond is God. Each facet is a different deity. And the deities in Africa and the deities in Haiti are very much connected to certain moral principles, certain concepts. There is a deity for love. There is another deity for motherly love. There is a deity for wisdom and knowledge. There is another deity that represents justice. And so they become moral principles themselves and act upon that when they come down to earth in the very bodies of the folks that are dancing with them at religious ceremonies. So it's a matter of looking at each and every moral principle and finding a deity that is very much associated to that moral principle.
Thank you very much for that answer. I'm wondering if that could lead into the concepts of virtues in voodoo, the moral principles and ideas of concepts of sin. What is good? What is bad? What is a good life?
Well, there is no concept of sin
okay.
in African systems.
Okay.
There are taboos, and your taboos will not be the same as my taboos. Everybody has pretty much their own taboos in terms of food, in terms of drink, in terms of behaviors, and that kind of thing. Of course, there are certain universals. For instance, it is forbidden to kill someone. It is forbidden to commit incest and those kinds of things. Of course, that's across the way. But the taboos replace sins, and so one doesn't sin against God. One might indeed hurt other human beings, and so that is where the emphasis is placed. The Brazilians have an interesting saying, which applies beautifully to their own land, because many of them, tens of millions of them, follow African systems. They say there are no sins below the equator. And we know something about Brazil and how free they seem to be in terms of their bodies. So find your equator, you will know what they are talking about.
Yeah.
So there are no sins below the equator. And so this seems to pervade the entire system itself, that on this planet at this time, our concern are with other human, our concerns are about other human beings, not about how we treat God or don't treat God.
Yes. Now, I'm curious about the taboos. You said they were personal, depending on the individual. Now,
certain food will not agree with you. You may be allergic to shrimp or to shellfish, which is a very, very common allergy in the world in terms of iodine. You may be allergic to booze or to alcohol. Maybe your body does not process it well. Therefore, you should avoid it altogether. That's a fairly common way of saying that drink is fine for certain people, alcoholic drink, but it's not fine for you specifically, and you should avoid it at all costs. And so that kind of, those kinds of things would become taboo. And it's also very much derived from which particular deities that you embody yourself, because each person embodies a series of deities, and their behavior and what it is that they consume replicates the deity that is significant in themselves, actually.
Well, that's interesting. Let me ask you, though, how, if I if certain deities are embodied in me as a person, how would I, as a practitioner of voodoo or as a follower of the spirit, how would I explore that? How would I get to know that, and how would I express it?
If you are born within that particular culture, it becomes obvious by people who are observing you, common mortals as well as people who are trained as priests, or perhaps in terms of readings that are done for you through playing cards, through staring at the flame of a candle, or using cowrie shells, whatever the system is, because there are many, many different systems, a person might be able to look at you and guess immediately which spirits that you favor without you saying a single word, by just observing you for a moment or two. And so you are devoted. You may not be devoted to that particular deity, but the deity certainly takes care of business. It reminds me of the whole system established by the Catholic Church and other Christian churches in terms of guardian angel. That's the closest I can get, because angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, are also pure spirits. So that's the closest connection, perhaps. And in Haiti, we refer to those spirits sometimes using the word angels.
Mm. Thank you. That's very enlightening. Let me ask you about, are there any type of scriptures for voodoo? Are there core literature or scriptures like you see in other religions?
No. And it's best not to have any, because that allows the religion to survive.
Yes.
Because it is carried through with common people, largely in the countryside of Haiti, people with no access to education, people who are sometimes starving to death, the common people, the masses, as it were, in the urban sector as well as the peasantry itself. And so it's never been reduced to writing, and it really can't. Anthropologists have defined voodoo and religions like it as living religions rather than preserved religions, as, for instance, as the three religions of the book. There is no text. There is no book. There are texts, but they're unwritten. And then the spirit might come down and say to you in the middle of a ceremony, you know that song that you've been singing for me for the last 300 years? I don't like it anymore. I'm going to teach you a new song. And from then on, you will sing that song for me to come visit you. The old song, forget about it. So it changes from time to time and from place to place. So it is very malleable. It's like the oak tree versus the blade of grass. A strong wind will destroy the oak tree. The blade of grass bends and survives for another day. Mm. And African religion is very malleable that way. It can adapt, just like Hinduism. Jesus can be part of it. Muhammad can be part of it. It's okay. Bring them all in, and we will survive that way. And we have no pope, and we have no archbishops. So you cannot kill the archbishops and the pope, and the religion dies. It survives because it is in the head of very common people, including children.
Let me ask you about, if you would please, explain to us a little bit about the clergy's role and the choosing of clergy. Is that something in a practitioner or when you're born into the culture, do you choose or are you chosen?
Yeah, most of the clergy comes from the countryside. These are people who do not have much book learning. They are selected by the deities themselves. You are called upon to belong to a religion. You are called upon by the deities to become clergy. And they are all independent of one another. There are tens of thousands of priests in Haiti proper, and now thousands in the United States and Canada and elsewhere in the world, including Paris, France, including temples that now do exist in places like Tokyo, Japan. And they do not necessarily, and they are pretty much chief in their own circles, in their own temples. And by the way, most clergy in Haiti is female. And this is also the case in places like Brazil as well. Women.
You said most clergy is?
Female, women.
Female, okay.
And this is also true of Brazil. The most significant houses in Brazil are led by women and have always been led by women. It's not that men cannot become priests, because they do, but women have a glorious position in those systems.
We're coming up on a short break now. We're speaking with Professor Patrick Bellegarde-Smith about voodoo. This is the Godspeed Institute on the Progressive Radio Network. We like to showcase new and interesting music here on Godspeed, but please stay with us. We are going to continue with Professor Bellegarde-Smith in our discussion about voodoo right after the break. This song is called Song, and it is by African artist Fospasen.
Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
How are you today?
Wonderful.
Can you sing a song for me?
With pleasure. Thank you.
Georgia. Patrick, the best of the moment.
Welcome back to the Godspeed Institute. I'm your host, Michael Hallenbeck, here on the Progressive Radio Network. We're talking about African religions and voodoo with Professor Patrick Bellegarde-Smith, professor and researcher at the Department of Africology at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. Professor Bellegarde-Smith, I would like to ask if you could describe some of the rituals and some of the ceremonies of voodoo to us. Now, I know that there are many, many of them, but perhaps highlight a few so our audience could get a basic idea of these practices.
Yeah, and the ritual calendar now very much imitates the Roman Catholic calendar, because sometimes the colonial slave owners did get some of those dates off for their enslaved Africans. Mm-hmm. And because also many of the deities have been syncretized with Roman Catholic saints, so the feast day for that particular Roman Catholic saint has become the day in which those deities are being worshipped now. But the deities and the saints are not the same. But this was a convenient way of dissimulating one's religion because, of course, in the Western Hemisphere, the U.S. included, Africans were absolutely forbidden to practice any form of their religion.
Yes.
But the religion did survive everywhere. And I contend that if you look at the black church and its rituals and Sundays, you will find much to say about survivals of African ideas within black Christianity that do not occur in what I call white Christianity.
Yes.
But Haiti goes beyond that. It's really interesting because, you see, in Africa in general, there's no Satan because we have anthropomorphized evil in giving it a name and a presence and a body in Satan. No such thing exists. You're talking about, you know, and this is what physicists tell us, that all things are energy. And in African systems, indeed, all things are energy. We are energy. The deities are energy. God itself is energy. The difference between physics and African religion is that in African religion, we talk about all things are conscious energy. And now we are finding out through our scholars and our scientists in the U.S. that there is even awareness at the cellular level in terms of our very own bodies.
Hello? I'm afraid we had Mr. Bellegarde-Smith drop off from the line momentarily. We will try to get him back on the line if we can. We're talking to Mr. Bellegarde Smith about voodoo and diasporic religions here on the Godspeed radio show on the Progressive Radio Network. And we were in the middle of talking about voodoo practices around the world. I found it very interesting, the talk about the ladies and the women being the foremost practitioner and priests of voodoo religion, and also the conversation that Mr. Bellegarde Smith was getting into about the identity of the black African churches. From my own perspective, the whole inception of African nature religions coming to the United States have some significant importance. I'm, as some of you might know, I'm a citizen of Denmark, and I have studied to great length the crimes and atrocities of the royal families in Europe and how they basically decided to sail down to Africa and to scoop up pretty much all the Africans they could down there. They had a business plan that was very specific. We're going to sail to the West African region, and we are going to, by force, take all Africans that we can get. We are going to sail them to what is now called the U.S. Virgin Islands. Back then, it was called the the Danish Virgin Islands. And the Danish Virgin Islands were set up as a slave camp where the Danish and Swedish and Norwegian slave owners, the kings, would set up camps and sell slaves to the United States of America. In the period of the slavery, we know that about 12 million Africans were taken out of Africa and basically destroyed in their religion and used as slaves. I think Mr. Bellegarde Smith is with us on the line.
Yes, I could hear you perfectly well, but apparently you could not hear me.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'm glad you're back on the line. We were talking about ceremonies, and you were explaining some of the ceremonies.
And indeed, the rituals now and the holy days, as it were, are very much replicated on the Roman Catholic calendar, because the African enslaved Africans were dissimulating their deities with into the Roman Catholic saints. And so when, for instance, the feast day for St. James comes around, it is very popular in Haiti, but we're not celebrating St. James. We're celebrating Ogou, who is an African deity. Saints are dead people. Deities are pure spirits, so there is a big difference there. And there are also rituals that occur every week, every other month, every 73 years. And so there are cycles within cycles within cycles.
Ah, interesting. I find it interesting that the voodoo religion has integrated so many so many of the Christian practices and deities and saints into their belief system.
It's fictitious, actually, because it
is fictitious.
Nothing.
Okay.
It means nothing. It is to hide behind the image of a saint, because enslaved Africans anywhere, including the U.S., were not allowed to practice their religion ever. They were not even allowed to practice the dances and to play the drums, for instance. And so it is fictitious. We use the saints so that we are allowed to do our own thing, essentially. But if you look at Haitians' knowledge of the actual saints, they know nothing of the saint himself. They have never studied the life of those saints. They don't know what those saints stand for, except the saint is wearing the proper colors of a particular deity.
It's a survival mechanism. It's been used for survival then.
It was to allow those religions to survive.
Yes.
And what people have done throughout the Western Hemisphere is move away from the saints because those religions are not as persecuted as they once were. In Brazil, there is a movement to eradicate the saints from Candomblé, for instance. And many priests that I know in Haiti refuse to acknowledge the saints because we don't have to hide anymore.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Now,
incidentally, an important factor in African religions,
yes.
And this is the strength of Christianity on voodoo, is reincarnation. It is a universal belief in Africa.
Yes.
Reincarnation is a universal belief. In the Western Hemisphere, it has tended to go to the wayside.
Now, can you explain a little bit about... do people, what about worship in voodoo? Is there any type of worship as it's known in many other religions, organized worship?
Yeah, sure. There are temples all over the country.
Yeah.
When it comes to North America, for instance, in Canada and the United States, temples are likely to be found in the basement of Haitian priests who live in the U.S. or Canada. There are private altars that priests have, and we congregate on a regular basis to perform ceremonies together.
Mm.
And in terms of each house, we call them houses.
Sure.
But in English, but those are humfo, those are temples. And so we get together once in a while because it's not fun to practice all by yourself.
Mm. Yes. Now, what about daily practices? What kind of daily practices are there?
Well, prayers.
Yeah.
There's libation. That one pours on the ground for the deities themselves. There is acknowledgement in prayer that they are powerful and that kind of thing. It's also interesting that ultimately, in terms of the African continent itself, you do not address any prayers to God. There are no prayers addressed to God. There are no temples addressed to God, because God is immaterial in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
What matters to us as human beings are the deities, not so much God itself. As a matter of fact, this is a deist position that was very much the belief system adopted by President Thomas Jefferson in the United States, that God ultimately did not matter. That mm-hmm. was his position 200 years ago. And this is essentially the African position today. Satan does not exist. God does not matter. What you have to do in a humanistic system is to be concerned about other human beings, not about God itself.
So let me ask you about things like, basic things like holidays. Are there any voodoo holidays?
No.
There's no holidays.
You see, because... that religion was persecuted by pretty much all Haitian governments.
Sure, sure.
And you cannot be public about many different kinds of things.
Sure.
And remember that holidays are consecrated and declared by the state.
Yes.
By the federal government, by the state government. And in Haiti, these people come from the countryside. These people oftentimes cannot read and write. These people oftentimes have no shoes, so they cannot decree holidays that we observe throughout the national territory.
Sure, sure. Now, what about organization in modern day today? You said that voodoo was a new terminology.
The name itself.
Yes, the name itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And
because if each tribe has its own religion, there is no sense in naming it.
Sure.
If everybody was Roman Catholic, we don't have to call it the Roman Catholic Church because everybody is Roman Catholic.
And you
don't allow any other system inside your territory. You see?
That's right.
Because each tribe has its own religious practices, each and every tribe.
Yeah.
Such as Judaism, which is the best example to date that I have come with.
So does in the same way that each tribe in the traditional African religions and belief system had their own practices, does that work the same way with voodoo today? That it sort of breaks into tribes or families?
No,
it doesn't. Okay.
Haitian are 10 million strong.
Okay.
And voodoo, in terms of its foundation, is found at all level of Haitian society, even those who hate it, even those who don't practice it, even those who become fundamentalist Christians and have sworn to defeat it. But come right down to it, if you scratch the surface, you will find that they perhaps fear it, because they want to get rid of it, and they believe intensely in it, which is why they fear it. But they have just chosen a new avenue. They have chosen a westernized avenue, which is Protestantism, even more so than the Roman Catholic Church, that is seen as inferior.
Yes.
To the Protestant, and I think it is largely because of the powerful presence of the United States rather than the powerful presence of France or Italy or Poland.
Yes. I read something horrible not too long ago. With the terrible earthquakes in Haiti not too long ago, and with all the suffering and all the destruction, I read somewhere that there was a sense of blaming voodoo, that some people were blaming voodoo for the terrible tragedy
island. Sure. It's common, it's expected, and it is done who by the Protestants in Haiti, who are about 40% of the population now. And remember that Pat Robertson said that the U.S., that Haiti had done a pact with the devil more than 200 years ago to achieve its independence. And it had defeated the French, and that was payback. God was getting back at Haiti for worshiping Satan. Well, Satan does not exist in traditional African religion, first of all. And Pat Robinson had also said that New Orleans was being punished through Katrina, the hurricane, because the week following Katrina, there was going to be a small LGBT parade, a gay and lesbian parade in the streets of New Orleans the following week. So God had to punish the entire city because it was allowing gays to exist.
Yeah.
So it's common. It's very common. And I suppose that heart attacks are personal punishments by God against people who eat too much.
Yeah, I don't mean to belittle this by my laughter.
Yeah, but it comes up very, very often.
Yeah.
So if you slip and slide and fall and break your kneecap, it is God's punishment because you've done something horrible to God.
Yes.
And those concepts do not occur at all in terms of African systems.
Yeah. What about the voodoo people of Haiti? I'm wondering if you have any sense of how this, I guess criticism is too small a word, but really persecution is affecting their beliefs and their identity.
Yes, and this is especially true of Haitians who travel abroad, those who have become U.S. citizens or Canadian citizens, those who live presently as legal aliens in the United States, where priests will say, I know nothing of voodoo, I don't know what you're talking about, I am civilized, I don't do that, I'm a good Christian, I don't know what you're talking about. And you will have Haitians who don't say a word of French. French is one of the two official languages.
Sure.
And only 20% of Haitians know French, 20%. All Haitians know the Haitian language. And those who don't know French will go around claiming in the streets, I've seen it in the U.S., it's happened to me many times, they will swear that they speak French and French only when they don't know a word of French, and they are from Haiti. I've seen that over and over again. But I have seen rabbis in Judaism tell me in the streets of Jerusalem they don't know what I'm talking about because Kabbalah does not exist. They've never heard of it. They don't want to talk to me about it, and they move away from me when I bring up Kabbalah. They say, we don't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Now, Haitians do the same thing oftentimes. They will deny who they are. But also many Haitians in Haiti is 100% black. Many of us will say, we're not black. We're better than black. And all those kinds of things. Those are the self-hatred elements that were introduced by Western Europe during slavery in colonized populations and enslaved populations. And hundreds of years after slavery was abolished, we still carry those problems inside of us.
On a very personal level. Now, back to Haiti and the earthquake. I'm curious and I'm concerned about the voodoo population in Haiti and this persecution that's going on. And I assume that you are very closely connected with the community down there through all the work that you're doing. How is that whole situation unfolding currently?
Well, you see, science tells us that the Earth moves. The Earth belches once in a while. So there was a big belch. And by the way, it was not strong enough. So between now, as we speak this moment, into 30 years from now, there will be another earthquake in Port-au-Prince. We know that because our scientists have told us that. Haitian scientists had warned the Haitian government a couple of years ago that this was coming. The Haitian government was in no position to do anything about it. It was too late. And you know, Haiti has an earthquake every 100 years. We had one in the middle of the 19th century. We had one in the middle of the 1700s. In the 18th century, and Haiti rebuilt itself all by itself without any assistance from anyone. Certainly in 1842, there was no such thing as foreign aid. Haiti rebuilt its cities from scratch at that point. And it's just a belch that the earth has. It has nothing to do with the spirit world. It has certainly nothing to do with God. And I will take my cue here from Thomas Jefferson. God has nothing to do with any of this.
I know.
And it's
a
very fragile planet.
Yes.
And not enough of it moved, which is why we expect another earthquake anytime now in Haiti.
Yeah.
Another one
is
coming. We don't know exactly when, but before 30 years are up, there will be another one in the same spot.
Yes. Now, you said in Haiti, now the voodoo community is 10 million individuals strong.
No, I said there are more than 10,000 priests.
Oh, 10,000 priests.
10,000 priests.
Oh, okay.
And in Haiti, the majority of Haitians may not practice it, but they certainly believe in it.
Sure. Now, I'm thinking of something simple as organization. Has this become an organized belief system with...
It's always been organized, but it's organized at the atomic level. It's organized at the level of the temple itself. There are some associations that are national in scope, and I know some of the individuals who are heading those national organizations. But it's very loose in terms of its organization, and that's exactly what allows it to survive. Because if there was a sturdy organization, you can destroy the top leadership and the whole thing falls apart.
Yes.
So I would be against organizing it to the extent that it can fall apart at some point. Let every temple do its own thing. And indeed, there are differences in each and every temple, in each region of Haiti. There are deities that occur in the southwest that you will not find in the northeast, for instance, et cetera, et cetera. So it's rather loose that way, and it's not a bad thing.
Do some temples grow larger than others? I mean, I understand with population density, of course.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The temples grow to their optimal size if they are in the urban sector or in the rural sector. And the communication tends to be difficult in the countryside. And people hang around their families because you have family temples as well. And so in that
family
sense,
temples.
Most of the organization is around family networks.
Sure. So you don't see the same kind of popularism with certain churches being very popular, and you see people flocking to them as...
It is very different from churches and church organizations.
Yes.
Very, very different that way.
Do you have any kind of...
The relationship is between you and your deities rather than anything else at that level. This is why people go into trance, for instance. And this is found throughout the world where you find people of African descent, people go into trance. Even in the Christian church with African Americans, they go into trance.
They go into trance. Can you explain a little bit more about
this?
Sure.
I'm sorry?
Can you explain that
a little bit more? Where the spirit descends. Where the spirit invades your body, and you have no recollection, you don't know what's happening to you, you go into a space where they will have to tell you when you get back from that trance what transpired, what happened, what did the spirit say through your mouth and through your action, and you have not a clue. You don't know. And by the way, Europeans went into trance was thinking about Delphi Oracle in ancient Greece, before Christianity. Native Americans go into trance. Asians oftentimes go into trance. So it's rather common. But in the black church, in black Christianity in the United States, they say it's the Holy Spirit that has come down. And I want to have details, because I know 419 Holy Spirits. Which one is it specifically?
Yeah. Well, I hate to do this, because this is a very interesting conversation, and I hope we can have a chance to continue it at some point. I hear the music in the background with this to cue that our program is coming up to the end. I want to.
I would like to talk to you again.
Sure. We would very much like to have you on again and discuss voodoo and African religions in more details. There's so much to talk about. Mr. Belgard Smith, I would like to thank you for being on the program today and for joining us on the Godspeed Institute on the Progressive Radio Network. And could you tell us, if people want to explore voodoo more on their own, is there a good place they can go?
Yes. On the web, you have kosamba.org. K-O-S-A-N-B-A. Kosamba. K-O-S-A-N-B-A.org.
Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us. Sure. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for joining us for the Godspeed Institute today. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we hope you'll join us again as we continue to explore the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Until then, from the Progressive Radio Network in New York City, Godspeed.